Hey, it's Ryan. Our colleague Bob McMillan, who you've heard from many times as a reporter, will be hosting the show today. Here he is.
This week, Congress is expected to pass a major piece of legislation. It's a bill that spends billions of dollars on climate and healthcare programs. And to pay for it, the bill raises taxes on big companies. But there was one tax that Democrats just couldn't raise. A tax paid by some of the wealthiest people in the country.
There were concessions, and one of the biggest concessions was, you know, in a little bit of a surprise, to the private equity lobby.
That's our colleague Julie Bykowitz. She says that the private equity lobby has been hard at work protecting an obscure type of income, something called carried interest. What is carried interest?
Well, in the simplest terms, it's a major source of income for private equity managers. The first thing to know about carried interest income is that it's taxed at a lower rate than ordinary income.
The job of a private equity manager is to handle private investments. And when a deal pays off, they get a cut. That's carried interest. It's part of how they're compensated for their services. But tax law doesn't treat it like regular income. It's taxed at a much lower rate. It's something both Democrats and Republicans have been trying to change for more than a decade. But time and again, they failed.
This is a rare example where it is crystal clear that the lobbying for an industry made the difference. And the private equity lobby has been making the difference on this particular tax issue for 15 years. It's really one of the most successful lobbying campaigns that we have here in Washington.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Bob McMillan. It's Thursday, August 11th. Coming up on the show, the powerful lobby protecting carried interest.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Carried interest is a type of compensation, and it's a concept that's much older than today's private equity funds. Centuries older. The carrying in carried interest comes from the 16th century. Back then, carried interest was how sea captains made money. A captain would load up a ship with goods and was responsible for sailing it safely across the sea. It was their job to navigate risky waters, full of storms, rocky coasts, and maybe even pirates. But if they made it to port, the payoff was huge. The goods got sold, and the captain took a decent cut of the profits. Today, the players are different. Instead of sea captains risking their lives, it's private equity managers risking their funds' money. Julie says that for decades, carried interest lived a quiet life in American tax law.
No one really ever thought about it because private equity looked quite different a couple of decades ago. It's just exploded as an industry, and now it sort of has grown to include partnerships in real estate, manufacturing, healthcare, just about everything you can think of.
Private equity managers can make tens of millions of dollars a year through carried interest alone. But that money isn't taxed like regular income. The richest Americans have a tax rate of 37%. Carried interest, on the other hand, is only taxed at 20%. Nobody paid much attention to carried interest until 2007, when Democrats in Congress said, "Hey, this isn't fair." That year, they introduced a bill that would have raised taxes on carried interest. It was a huge threat to private equity managers. But they couldn't do much about it. because they didn't have a strong lobby in Washington.
What did their lobbying operation look like back then?
So in 2007, the private equity industry had, according to the lobbyists that I've talked to, basically no interest in Washington. That changed very quickly because when the taxes on one of your major sources of income are about to potentially go up quite a bit, it might be time to pay attention in Washington. Lobbyists and the different private equity firms got together and said, you know what, let's move in on Washington and figure something out.
Their first step, create a trade group. Enter the Private Equity Council.
Sounds a little bit better when you get a press release or a statement from the Private Equity Council than, you know, from a KKR or a Carlyle or Blackstone, the individual firms. It has a little bit more of a oomph behind it.
Their second step, spend a lot of money. In 2006, private equity firms paid $3.6 million to lobbyists. The next year, that number ballooned to $20 million, according to the nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics. And that's not all.
This is just kind of the way it works in Washington. You not only pay lobbyists, but you start attending political fundraisers. You start raising money for senators and congressional candidates and paying attention to presidential politics. And you may even, as an industry or as an individual firm, get yourself into a position where you're helping a lawmaker by making ads for their reelection.
And that totally paid off. The bill to get rid of carried interest didn't go anywhere.
So you start a trade group, you spend some money. At the heart of it, the message here is tax relief for the very rich, right? I mean, it seems like they must have also worked on a better message than that.
Are you saying that tax relief for the very rich is not an electorally winning message?
It may not be the best, yes.
That's right. And that was a very early realization was, you know, look, it may not work entirely to have Blackstone CEO traipsing over to the Hill and talking about how, you know, he deserves a tax break. Not necessarily the best optics.
So the private equity lobby refined their message. They argued that when private equity thrives, so does the American economy, because a lot of businesses get funding from private equity firms. And they said raising taxes on carried interest would harm the economy. The lobby took their message to lawmakers. They began arranging tours for them in their districts to show off businesses funded by private equity. The strategy worked. In 2010, lawmakers took another shot at carried interest, but that failed too. But then in 2016, after nearly a decade of fighting off the Democrats, something kind of unexpected happened. This time, they had to fight off a Republican. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at C3.AI.
During his 2016 campaign, Donald Trump worked hard to appeal to working-class Americans.
We're living through the greatest jobs theft in the history of the world. So true.
On the campaign trail, Trump promised tax cuts for most Americans
and tax hikes for the rich.
Trump had a lot of populist language in his campaign speeches at his rallies about ending favorable tax treatment for the rich. You know, we're going to make everything fairer.
The hedge fund guys are getting away with murder. They're making a tremendous amount of money. They have to pay tax. I want to lower the rates for the middle class. The middle class is the one they're getting absolutely destroyed.
He would use himself as an example, like, I know these guys can save money because they know exactly where to go in the tax code to get these tax breaks. We're going to stop all that.
Well, one thing I do is get rid of carried interest. One of the greatest provisions for people like me, to be honest with you.
So his overarching message on the campaign trail was, I know how things work because I am a rich guy, and so I am the perfect person to go in and change things to become more fair because I know where the secrets are.
After Trump won, other Republicans got on board. They started working on their own plan to change how carried interest is taxed.
So the industry at that point was substantially freaked out. They had to rethink their interactions with lawmakers at that point because they couldn't do their strategy of like keeping all the Republicans on their side and enough Democrats on their side. They almost had to do reverse engineering and think like, well, wait, who is on our side when it comes to Republicans?
Lobbyists told Julie that they zeroed in on Republicans who might be willing to go against party leadership.
The industry went to members who were not likely to understand tax code, members who were not likely to have really ever even heard of this issue before, and kind of played into that, you know, leadership is wanting to do this. We don't think it's a good idea, appealing to their base instinct to be obstructionist in a way to their own party.
They got a letter signed by about 24 conservative House members. The message was clear. They'd block any law that came with a tax hike on carried interest.
They just kind of put up a little bit of a wall in the Republican Party, signaling to everyone, it's not worth it. It's not worth messing with carried interest. You don't want to doom your entire tax bill. And by the way, this is a Republican issue to begin with. You know, what you're doing is kind of attacking corporations and business leaders, and it worked. It definitely worked.
In the end, Republicans tweaked the tax on carried interest, but they didn't raise the rate. And so that's where things stood until this year, when Democrats proposed a huge Senate bill to address climate and healthcare issues. Republicans hated the bill, and one Democrat had problems with it too, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema. Sinema has had a long relationship with the private equity lobby, dating back to her very first election campaign.
You could look at it and say the industry has identified her as someone very much on its side and is essentially rewarding her by contributing to her campaigns. Or you could look at it like the industry has worked very hard to make sure that she is on its side and is contributing to her campaigns. All that to say that the securities and investment executives and their industry political action committees have been, as a group, the second highest contributor to her campaigns for Senate since she first ran in 2017, second only to retirees.
When the bill included changes to carried interest, Sinema balked.
So there was this element of mystery, like, what will Kyrsten Sinema do? Then it started emerging through her conversations with Arizona business leaders, with her campaign donors, with lobbyists, with anyone that she was in a room with. She was explaining, like, look, I still object to this. I don't favor this change to carried interest.
According to Julie's reporting, Sinema thought that fiddling with carried interest was foolish because Congress had just funded infrastructure and manufacturing projects, which she says rely on private equity.
She didn't want to do some sort of compromise on it. She just wanted it out of the bill. And when you need 50 votes plus the vice president, you can say no and you can tank an entire deal. And so ultimately, did Democrats want to ruin their entire deal that was meticulously put together, come back from the dead a couple of times over a provision that is sort of wonky in the tax code, difficult to explain, difficult to make clear ads on for voters. They decided it wasn't worth it. And that's what's happened again and again over time with carried interest. It's just not worth it.
In the end, carried interest was cut from the bill. It survived again. What does this ultimately say about Congress's efforts to tax the rich?
It's an uphill battle when you've got powerful lobbying groups who are working very hard to keep things status quo. I think that the fact that even with a Democratic White House and Democrat-controlled chambers of Congress, we still have not closed the so-called carried interest loophole. I mean, that's all you need to know about the lobbying campaign. If ever there is a time to get this issue over the finish line, it would seem to be now, and yet here we are.
That's all for today, Thursday, August 11th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Miriam Gottfried. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.